That's fine, Josh. Thank you.
No, it's good.
Because I'm going to cover most of it. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy May 28th. End of the school year. Graduation for some of you. Retirement for others. I don't know. I was a little sad because there are a bunch of families missing today, and I know a lot of people are traveling because this is a good holiday to travel. But it is that time. It's time to say goodbye. And here we are on May 28th. You guys know what's so important about May 28th? It's my sister-in-law's birthday. Not very important. But May 28th was also the day I said hello. It was my first official day here after driving from Florida to Missouri. We arrived on the 27th, where you all on May 28th came and unloaded my moving truck. So thank you for that. And here we are just 5 years later. Not the same. All of us are different in some way. Ian, you were still in college back then. George, were you retired? You're retired now. You were working then. Some of you weren't even here when I was here 5 years ago. So we have a lot. We are different people, but hopefully we are better people, and now we're getting all ready to transition us to a new place, you to a new minister, and you're going to have a new tryout next week, younger gentleman from what I understand, and that could be a little bit scary. Transition can be a little bit scary. So I've been thinking a lot about what I would say in this moment, and I thought of these words I penned a number of weeks ago when I was working on something that I thought that I want you to know that things may feel uncertain right now, but let me assure you that this is not the end. Every story must have its conclusion, and with it comes the promise of a new beginning. In the face of challenges and uncertainties, we have the opportunity to discover our strengths and resilience. Even when we find ourselves standing at the edge of the abyss, it's important to remember that even in the darkest moments, there is a glimmer of hope. And for us as Christians, we hope for the future. And the times we live in now, these times of uncertainty, these times of we don't know what the tomorrow may bring, we know that God is going to get us through it. But more importantly, no matter where we are in life, we're going to be joined together again with Him in heaven. Still, it's hard to say goodbye. Does anybody like saying goodbye? Well, maybe if you don't like the person. So long, John Paul. Hope to never see you again. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I'm hoping you guys all are sad to see me go, just like I'm sad to see you go. We do like things the way they are. We don't like change. Sometimes we're uncertain about our decisions or our capacity to do it. We don't like leaving people behind, which is why when people die, we grieve. Or when one loved ones move on, or we're forced to deal with the experience. But I like what Marilyn Monroe said. It's here. She says, sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together. Now, why do you think I had Philippians up here? Why do you think I had Josh read Philippians? Because this is kind of Paul's farewell letter. Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. He was under house arrest. And he knew his time was coming to an end. And so he wrote them the things that he thought are important. So all the things I thought I might say to you today, well, I think Paul says them better. Because Paul just spent 3 chapters telling them wonderful things, especially how they could be in the mindset of Christ. And he begins chapter 4 by using a very important word. I love this word in the Bible, and almost every single person glosses over it. But it is one of the most important words of the Bible because it is a call to action. It is this word, therefore. I have spent all this time telling you what I think is going to help you. In my case, 5 years. In Paul's case, I don't know. It's been a long time. He's been doing this for at least 20 at this point in his life. And he says, all right, brothers and sisters, therefore, I said this, therefore, I want you to do this. So my final goodbye is going to be in the words of Paul. And that is, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Because this is the greatest thing that we could do as Christians. Journey's going to be tough. The road's going to be long. But heaven is on the horizon. And as long as we can stand firm in God and look towards His righteousness and not our own, we are going to be okay. A believer should always walk in His path. Put their feet right in front of Him. And when you can't walk, He will carry you as long as you stand firm in Him. Make peace with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Josh, I think you did a great job trying to say these names, because I don't even think I can say this. How would you pronounce this? Sintichi? Saitichi? No, it doesn't even matter. But 2,000 years ago, two sisters, biblically or not, had a disagreement. And Paul forever penned their names to say, hey, these two people love God. But for some reason we don't know, they're having a disagreement. So all of you make peace with them. But more importantly, you two women make peace with each other. Because what you're arguing about right now probably doesn't even matter. Maybe even a year from now, you will forget it. But when it comes to God, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to standing firm, be of the same mind. Help your brother and sister out. This is what his next point is help them reconcile. Yes, I also ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are found in the book of life. Because we are petty human beings, we will fight to the bitter end, and sometimes we need help. But as I was reminded this morning, we are not alone. And so whatever disagreement I might have with someone, if I need help, I know that all of you are here with me. That I could probably next week pick up a phone call and say, help, I am in over my head. And John would be happy to take it. After probably saying, see, I told you so, you should have stayed. But our goal should be to do God's work. And God says, help one another. And do it with a happy heart. Or, as he says many, many times in the book of Philippians, rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. How many times does Paul use this word in the book of Philippians? That is how many times, and many, many more, you should find joy. Joy should never be dependent on your circumstances, because joy is not happiness. Happiness is how you feel in the moment when you are glad that something is going your way. Having joy means you should be in one mind and one spirit and standing firm in the Lord. Even when everything is going bad, our joy should always be found in our relationship with God. Rejoice. And no matter what happens, don't be anxious. I am the worst person to tell this to anybody, because I am anxious all the time. In fact, I am on anxiety medication because of how anxious I am. And I have no reason to be, because God has given me the most wonderful woman in the world. Two beautiful children who sometimes drive me crazy. Wonderful people in this room and halfway across the country who are doing nothing but showing me kindness and love. And he tells me, do not be anxious. Jesus, do you know who I am? Of course he does. And yet he still says it. And I know the more and more that I flounder and fail, the more and more He is going to help me out. Because my job should be to trust in Him. Continue to talk to God with praise, with worship, with thanksgiving, as someone in need. Because you cannot communicate, you cannot expect your faith to grow if you do not have a good relationship with Him. As Paul says in verse 6, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Do the right thing. What is the right thing? Well, that's the question, is it? Well, you need to know. It's in Scripture. Paul tells you, Jesus tells you, Peter tells you, Luke tells you, the writer of Hebrews tells you, everything that you need to know what you should be doing as a brother and sister in Christ. But Paul sums it up here. You want to know what's good? Do whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Because these are the things of God. It is your purpose as someone who lives for Him. Learn from your circumstances. 5 years. That's a long time. How many of you have seen me mess up in 5 years? There's not enough hands up. I need to see everybody's hands. Because I have messed up spectacularly in 5 years. I am a complete and utter failure sometimes. And I'm going to go to this new church and I'm going to mess up. But that's life. Because we learn from our circumstances. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's why Paul writes, in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Every opportunity is an opportunity to grow. And I am not the same guy I was 5 years ago. And I know I won't be the same guy I am next year. You won't be the same church because you will be better. And there will be someone here who will continue to do God's work. And fortunately for you, I'm pretty sure they will be better than me. Because you already have all the benefit of learning from my mistakes. You say, don't be like John Paul. This is what you could do to be better. Finally, Paul says, greet every saint. Greet every saint in the churches of Christ. That is who you are. You are a saint. We don't like this word as Christians, and I've talked about this point many times, because the idea of being a saint is someone who has done something great and wonderful, and their name has been canonized in all of history. But this is the number one word used to describe Christians, and that is who you are, is a saint. And as a saint, greet all brothers and sisters in Christ. Show them the same love and affection that has been shown to you. And even more so, because you can never show enough love. Paul says, this isn't a command I give to the generic audience. This is a command I give to each and every single one of you. Greet every saint. That is the very final thing that Paul asked of the church in Philippi. Then he moves on and he closes out his letter and he walks away, supposedly never to be heard from or seen from again by most of the members in the church. Because we know not long after this, he would eventually be beheaded. So what more needs to be said? What more could I possibly say to you to help you in your time of moving forward? Well, I thought of three things. But again, they're not my words so much as they are words that we find in the Bible, and that is, I hope all of you continue to deal with your sin. It is the number one thing that separates us from God. It is the number one thing that we should always be working on. And yeah, sure, you're going to fail at it. It's going to be difficult. You might even try to rationalize your behavior by saying, my sin is not as great as someone else's. But the problem with that is it doesn't matter what someone else has sinned, because every single time you sin, you cut yourself off from God. And the only way we could draw close to Him is by getting rid of it altogether, by seeking change in His will. Next, be still and listen. Am I a good listener, Rachel? Yeah, she says okay. So see, even something I can work on, because the world is very, very distracting. There's a lot of things going on. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful work weekend. There are many people traveling and having fun, and maybe some of you even like to do this thing called hunting and fishing. It's a little weird. In 5 years, you have not changed me in that way. Well, maybe Philip likes it, but you can take Philip. Well, I'll let you keep him. But the world is distraction. Life gets in the way. Satan is pulling at your heart. But God says, make your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear in the Lord and find knowledge of God. If we do not listen, how do you know what God is saying to you? How do you know what He wants for you in the future? Be still and listen. Know that God loves you. No matter what your struggle or what you're going through in life, no matter how bad you are, sinner or saint, God still loves you. And there's nothing you're going to do to ever change that. And that love is greater than anything you could possibly imagine. That is it. That's my lesson. Those words of Paul, those words found in the Bible. But I think I want to say one more thing. And I want to say this on behalf of my wife, who loves you as much as I do, and my children. She has no clue what I'm going to say, so I bet I'm terrifying her right now. It can be a scary thought. But it's very, very simple. And that is, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for 5 wonderful years. Thank you for your hearts. Thank you for your minds. Thank you for being here in our time of need, for helping us move in, move out, coming to our homes, letting us into your homes, spending every single moment. Thank you. Love you guys. We love you very much. And I wish you nothing but the best. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.